إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to complete the questions, or at least take a few of the questions that were presented at the end of the topic Asbab Najat al-Ummah, that is the means for the Ummah, the salvation of the Ummah, by Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And yesterday, alhamdulillah, we completed those points that the Shaykh intended to discuss concerning those things which are the means or the causes or the reasons due to which the Muslim Ummah will be saved from ruin and destruction in this world, as well as the punishment in the next life. And the Shaykh mentioned a number of matters, and I hope that some of them have remained with us. The most important of them being the establishment of At-Tawheed, which requires, obviously, the avoiding of shirk. And the Shaykh also mentioned establishing the sunnah and avoiding innovation, bid'ah. And he mentioned obedience, hearing and obeying those who are in authority over the Muslims, yani the Muslim rulers or leaders. And sticking together, yani al-ijtima', coming together, working together, uniting with one another based upon the Quran and Sunnah. And then he mentioned enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, al-amru bin ma'ruf wa nahyan al-munkar. And along with that, he listed some other points in the end of his talk, including establishment of brotherhood, and he, ta'awun, cooperating in piety and righteousness, sincere advice for one another, and eliminating hatred and ill feelings amongst the Muslims, to some other matters. Naam. So, I mean, these are some of the things that are very important for us to keep in mind if we want to have hope of being saved from destruction and punishment in this world and the next life. And the questions that remain, for the most part, are not directly related to the topic, but there were questions that came at the end of the lecture. And I have two problems, obviously, this morning. One of them is my throat, which is making it difficult to talk. And the other one is that there's no transcript for the questions at the end of this book. And it has been difficult trying to follow the translation due to the many, many serious errors that are in the translation of this book. And without the transcript, it's going to be difficult. But I did have a chance last night to listen to the actual speech of the Sheikh and hear the questions that were presented, to get an idea of actually what he was really saying, as opposed to some of the things that have been presented here. I'd like to read the first question at least, but before that, I want to just like point, for example, to any the kind of problem that we found in this translation. In the second question, for example, dealing with al-wala wal-mara, it is written here that wala wal-bara does not indicate a love for the disbelievers. Loving the disbelievers is never permissible. It does not mean if we do business with them, buy things from them, take a lease from them, and to ask them for a job, that we love them. Rather, its meaning is that we want from them that they give us a job that we are in need of. And the Sheikh didn't say this at all. Rather, they have twisted the meaning of what he said and given it almost the opposite meaning. And the Sheikh said, it does not mean that if we do business with them or buy things from them or hire them, doesn't mean that if we hire them, he said, take a lease from them. Actually, the Sheikh said, it doesn't mean that if we hire them. And he said, if we ask them for a job, the Sheikh said, if we request them to do a job for us, I need some work that we need done, and we have them to work for us. This is the kind of problem like this that we found, and I didn't have a chance. It wasn't possible to sit down and write out exactly what the Sheikh said. So, some of it is just twisted completely. In any case, because of the absence of a transcript, it's difficult. So I'll do the best I can from what I can remember what the Sheikh said. And wherever I remember there was a problem, I'll try to correct it. But the first question, and we found these kind of problems throughout the whole book, but we had a transcript for the main text of the book. Question number one, accusations and criticisms have increased in recent times against the da'wah of the Imam, the Mujaddid, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, and the books of Salafi da'wah. He says, were saved from that also. And he should mean they were not safe from that also, from the criticism. Like the book Ad-Durr As-Saniya and so forth. Including that they said these books are the cause of distress and tribulation, yani of trials and tribulation. And that they, the books of the Dawah Salafiyah, are behind the bombings and takfir. Yani people are accusing the Dawah of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah and the books of Dawah Salafiyah to be the cause for the trials and tribulations, and that they are the cause that inspired people to bomb innocent people and kill innocent people and make takfir. So this is part of the question, that these accusations and criticisms have increased in recent times. So we ask for a clarification and a response from Your Excellency. May Allah grant you success. And we, yani, can find until now that these people are trying to claim and suggest to the masses of ignorant people that the Salafi da'wah has something to do with this yani, evil behavior of bombings and killing innocent people and so on and making takfir on the Muslims. The Shaykh said, yes, I have said to you all, indeed, tribulations and affliction will occur up until the last hour is established, yani until Yawm Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 31st Ayat, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا مِّنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And thus have we made for every prophet an enemy from among the mujrimeen, any from amongst the disbelievers and the polytheists and criminals, etc. Moreover, the Prophet ﷺ had enemies. So how much more than the other prophets? Yani it should say, the Prophet ﷺ had enemies. فَكَيْفَ بِغَيْرِهِ Then what about other than him? Certainly, if the Prophet ﷺ, if Allah allowed him to have enemies, then the other people more so, we expect that they will have enemies. Yani people other than prophets. So Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, did not come to please the people. He only came to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the translation of the hadith that follows is also somewhat altered, modified and reversed. But in any case, the Shaykh, he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever seeks the pleasure of the people in that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah would be displeased with that person. And He would cause the people also to be displeased with him. Yani whoever seeks to please the people at the expense of displeasing Allah, then Allah would be displeased with that person and He would cause the people also to be displeased with him. And whoever seeks the pleasure of Allah, even if it means earning the displeasure of the people, then Allah would be pleased with that person and He would cause the people to be pleased with him. The Shaykh did not come. Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab did not come to satisfy the people, meaning to please the people. He came to please his Rabb. He was a da'i. There is a caller to Islam. And he was a mujaddid, or a muslih, a reformer. Allah has supported the religion by means of his da'wah. Generations of Muslims were raised upon it. They lived upon it, and they died upon it. Thus, it is a virtuous da'wah, a virtuous call. Because it is a call that followed the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is in accordance with and on the same methodology of the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore he, that is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he was a mujaddid, a reviver, and a musli, a reformer. Had it not been virtuous, had his call not been virtuous, it would not produce these tremendous continuous good. Its result would not have been what it is of goodness, the khair that it brought about. So how many calls or da'wat, how many of the da'wah of the people have failed and did not produce anything? Like the calls that we see today of the various groups who have deviated from the sunnah and the way of the salaf. They haven't produced anything of good. We do not find it strange that the hypocrites, the disbelievers, and the heretics speak against the da'wah of the Shaykh. They have spoken against the da'wah of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have spoken against the da'wah of others from among the Messengers. They accused them of wanting leadership, riyasa, and that they wanted to be exalted throughout the earth. To be looked up to. They accuse them of being magicians and so forth. Just as Allah mentioned that in the Quran. The accusations that the disbelievers made against the prophets and messengers, alayhi wasalam. So, one should not find it strange today that these criminals are uneasy because of the da'wah to al-khayr, because of the call to good. They find fault with the da'wah, the call to good, because they want to make room for evil. Yet this da'wah and these beneficial books have stood up on the upper part of their chests, and a stumbling block has stood on their chests. So they do not want it. That is the da'wah. The disbelievers from the previous nations used to see an evil omen in the prophets. They would say that evil had not afflicted us. They would say that evil had not afflicted us for any reason except because of the prophets. And they would say evil didn't come to them except due to the presence of the prophets of Allah. So they saw an evil omen in Musa. And they saw an evil omen in the prophets and Salih. Allah the Sublime and Exalted mentioned about the people of Thamud that they used to see an evil omen in Salih, and likewise Ashab al-Yasin saw an evil omen in the messengers, and they said قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم. And these people, they said, for us, we see an evil omen from you. لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَحُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And if you cease not, yani to call to the truth, we will surely stone you, and a painful torment will touch you from us. This is mentioned in Surah Yasin, 36 Surah, 18th Ayah. So what is the meaning of the statement, we see an evil omen from you? What do they mean by this? The Shaykh said the meaning of this is that evil had not befallen us for any reason except because of you. And the same thing concerning these individuals today, yani that they are saying the same thing. They said, evil did not befall us evil did not befall us for any reason except because of the da'wah of the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, and because of the books of Tawheed and Aqeedah. They are a cause of evil with them. And they claim that this da'wah and these books are the cause of evil. They saw an evil omen in them, just like they saw an evil omen in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in His statement in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 78th Ayah. وَإِن تُصِبُهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبُهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. And if some good reaches them, they say, this is from Allah. But if some evil befalls them, they say, this is from you. Meaning, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing of bad befell us except because of you, O Muhammad. This is never strange that the disbelievers and the hypocrites and the heretics find fault with Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, and they criticize the books of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And they have Salaf among the criminals, meaning they have from amongst the criminals of the past those who preceded them in this behavior. And they have their Salaf, those who preceded them from amongst the criminals of the past who accused the prophets and the messengers of being the cause of evil. And the Shaykh mentions here again from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 31st Ayah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا مِّنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. Thus we have made for every prophet an enemy among the mujrimun, amongst the disbelievers and the pagans and the criminals. But sufficient is your Rabb as a guide and a helper. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient as a guide for those who follow the truth and who follow the messengers. And He is sufficient as a helper for them. However, they will never harm anyone except themselves. Yani the harm of these people will only return to themselves. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah alone for this. The truth will remain. And he says, and may Allah humiliate them. Actually, the Shaykh said, the truth will remain in spite of them. In spite of them. And in spite of their claims and their accusations and their criticisms, the truth will remain in spite of them. The da'wah of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, is clear. And alhamdulillah, there is not within it any confusion or any exceeding of proper bounds, yani ghulu. Rather, he prohibited extremism. Is it not in the book of Tawheed, Kitab al-Tawheed, that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, yani a chapter, the chapter heading, what is mentioned regarding the extremism in the graves of the righteous becoming idols in which they are worshipped besides Allah. Yani the meaning of what he said, yani this is a chapter heading, what has been mentioned or narrated concerning al-ghulu, exaggeration concerning the righteous, going to the extreme, exaggerating in their status and their position and respect for them, going beyond the bounds in yani respecting or having love for the righteous, which leads to their graves being taken as awthanan, yani that which is worshipped besides Allah. So here the Shaykh is saying yani that he entitled a chapter and he brought evidences concerning this matter, that ghulu, exaggeration in the status of the righteous, leads to taking their graves as a place of worship where other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be worshipped. So he put a chapter that prohibits extremism regarding the righteous. He mentioned a story of the people of Nuh alayhi salam, where they exceeded the bounds of the righteous, meaning they exceeded the bounds in their elevation and praise and glorification of the salihin, of the righteous. So he prohibited extremism and what they call radicalism, tatarruf. And he commanded with moderation, i'tidal, and with righteousness or uprightness, al-istiqamah, because he came to revive this deen. So he is similar to the others among the revivers, the mujaddidun, whom Allah brought forth at the beginning of every 100 years, reviving the ummah concerning matters of its deen, as to what is mentioned, as what is mentioned in the hadith, yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, "Inna Allah Taala yab'athu li hadhihi al-umma 'ala ra'si kulli 100 sana man yujaddidu laha dinaha." Quoted by Abu Dawood. And indeed, Allah the Most High will send forth or would yani mission for this ummah at the beginning of every 100 years, one who would revive for the ummah its deen, yani who would correct and rectify and remove that which has been added to it, the corruptions and deviations. So the Shaykh is saying here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah will send a mujaddid for every 100 years, yani one will come and correct and rectify yani those deviations that have come into the deen. Therefore, the Shaykh closes by saying, do you all think that the evil people will commend the Shaykh and praise him or his books? Never, we should never expect this from them. We should not expect anything from them except criticism. However, just as a poet said, if criticism of me comes to you from one who finds fault, then it is my testimony that I am virtuous. Yani meaning, one who is just a criticizer, criticizes me with some fault or defect, this is a proof or a testimony or a shahada. Yani, of contrary to that. Yani, the people who criticize, if they criticize the scholars and the righteous people, this is a proof of their excellence and virtue. Therefore, this indicates the merit and the excellence of the Shaykh, rahimahullah, whereas he angered these criminals and caused their chest to be tightened and restricted. As the kuffar are always angered when they see the benefit or the progress of the people of Islam or the people of the Sunnah. What is the end of what the Shaykh said concerning this question? Allahu musta'an. Any, there's a few minutes remaining. I don't know if we can do any other question. Now, there's another question that is related to this same topic here that the Shaykh just mentioned briefly. The fourth question, the question is like this, is the way it is here. Should whoever accuses the religious methodologies are a cause for calamities, wrongly deeming Muslims of being apostates, bombings, and etc. of being a heretic? The meaning of the question should be, should we declare the kufr, yani declare a person to be a kafir, those who accuse following the deen, yani that people acting upon Islam, that this is the cause of calamities, and this is the cause of people being declared to be, yani declaring Muslims to be kafirs, and the cause of the bombings that are taking place. Whoever says that these things are the result of following Islam, should this person be declared to be a kafir? And the Shaykh said, if this person knows what is in the deen, and that the deen is, and that it is the truth, if a person knows that what the people are following of Islam is the truth, and he believes that following the truth is the cause of bombings and the cause of corruption, then he himself is deemed to be a kafir because of that. As for if he is unaware and he hears the people saying something, then he says similar to what they say. He's only repeating what the people say. But he is ignorant in the issues of manhaj. Then this person is excused until it's clarified to him that which relates to the issues of manhaj, that following the sunnah, it is the true manhaj, and that there is no extremism nor radicalism in it. And the Shaykh is saying here that what is the condition of the people who say that practicing Islam is the cause of any corruption in the earth? Then this, if a person knows that Islam is the truth, and they know that Islam is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for the rectification of the people and the rectification of the society, and yet they accuse the Islam, following Islam, of being the cause of corruption, then this person is a kafir. However, if he is unaware of the truth, and he's just repeating what he hears the people saying due to his ignorance, then this person is excused until clarification is made for him, and he's made to understand that yani that Islam is the truth, and it is the way, yani not for corruption but rather for correction of the society. The person is excused until this is clarified for him, yani that Islam is not a cause of extremism or radicalism or corruption in the society. How long is it going to take for them to get it? Anyway, please excuse me, inshallah. We'll stop here, inshallah. And if there's any question or any comment or any correction of what has been said. Naam, if we didn't have the sunnah, where would we be? We would be in total darkness. We would be misguided. We would be astray. We would be lost. Naam. But unfortunately, and today, especially the people that have been influenced by the Western ideologies and Western way of thinking, they have been, their minds have been corrupted, and they have been deceived due to the corruption of their hearts and the pollution of their minds. They have been deceived into believing that the Western way is better, and that following Islam is the cause of backwardness and the problems in the Muslim society. So these people, they came with this thinking and they began to say this. And some people hear it and repeat it out of ignorance. Because today we find the ignorance is widespread. It's even in the Muslim lands about Islam. Muslims are ignorant of Islam. So some people, because they don't have any understanding or knowledge of the deen, then they hear these ideas being espoused and they repeat what they hear. So the Shaykh is saying that a person like this should be educated, and it should be explained to them, and it should be clarified. And then, yani, they will be held responsible. Otherwise, they are excused due to their ignorance until it is made clear to them. Now, who reject the sunnah completely now. Yeah, I mean they are pretty much the same. You know, these are just different methods of rejecting the sunnah, but they are the same. It's rejection of the sunnah. Yani, some of the people, they are outright and they are open and direct in saying they reject the sunnah. So that's clear. Yani, their case, their situation is clear to everyone. But the other people, they don't openly say they reject the sunnah, but they also reject the sunnah. But the way they reject it is a little bit different. They don't say that we don't accept the sunnah, but they say, oh, there's some hadith in Bukhari, there's some hadith in Muslim, there's some hadith that the scholars who corrected the hadith, they erred in. So we don't accept those. Because, why they don't accept them? Even though they are agreed upon as being authentic by the foremost scholars of hadith like Bukhari and Muslim, but they said, but they don't agree with our intellect. And it's not rational. It doesn't make sense. So they must have made a mistake. So they reject those hadith that don't agree with their polluted intellect, with their corrupted intellects. Naam. So those people, they have also rejected the sunnah. Even if they pick and choose some hadith, but ultimately they have really rejected the sunnah. They have undermined the sunnah. And they choose what they want to reject. So they have rejected the sunnah. I mean, it's like the people, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, they believe in some of the messengers and they disbelieve in some of them. So whoever disbelieves in one messenger, he has disbelieved in them all. So whoever rejects anything from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has rejected it all. I mean, if he does it knowingly, not the person who just, like as the Shaykh said here, the person is ignorant, he doesn't know, he's just repeating what he heard. So that person might be excused until the proof is made clear to them, the evidence, you know, is made clear to them, so that then at that point they will choose to accept the truth or to reject it. Then they will be responsible for it. Otherwise, of course, many of the people, they say these things, they're just repeating what they hear. So that person might be excused until yani, the matter is made clear to them. Now,
let's see. So, the question comes to you as we kind of Why the what?
Unless it's just going away. It's not Islam. Why? Because they're not from the Sunni background of Islam, but they fight for the land. I mean, what is the problem?
Well, I mean, yeah, there are Muslims fighting each other in many places, and there are different reasons for it. There's not one reason. But some of them are fighting for, they want to control the land, they want leadership, authority, government, whatever, economic reasons. There's various reasons, but ultimately, in the end of it all, it's because these people are not really worshipping Allah the way that Allah has legislated. They are not following the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. Because if they are following the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, then they will reconcile their differences. Allah commanded in Surah Al-Hujurat that if two parties from amongst the believers and he fight one another, then we should make reconciliation between them. So if we see that they are not accepting to reconcile, to make peace, to resolve the issue, then this is because obviously these people are not in submission to the guidance and instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You wanted to say something about your question again? Follow up?
Oh, yes. So, who's mind are we going to follow that?
Yeah, whose intellect? Whose mind? Yes. Of course, everyone is following their own mind. Everyone will follow their own mind. And this is why these people have gone astray. Because there's no doubt that the sound mind will be in agreement with the revelation. The person whose mind has not been corrupted, that has not been polluted, then their mind would lead them to agreement with that which Allah has revealed in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah. But the corrupted mind, then it will oppose the revelation. So every corrupted mind will come up with a different idea. And that's why there are so many sects and parties and groups, because each one has found his own mind. Yarhamukallah. So this one, his mind tells him to go this way, and this one, his mind tells him to go another way, and the third one's mind is telling him to go some other way. So all of them, this is why they are divided into many, many sects and groups, because everyone is following his own mind, and that which unites is following the Quran and Sunnah. That which unites is following the Quran and Sunnah. Naam. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك